Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text is from Mark chapter 10. Mark's gospel has three passions and resurrection predictions of our Lord. Jesus says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again." Each time Jesus tells his disciples what he's going to do, the disciples need correcting. To be straightened out on their understanding of his work and theirs. I believe Martin Luther probably puts his finger on the flesh's problem with the death and resurrection predictions when he says, "The flesh always desires to become glorious before it is crucified, to become exalted sooner than it is humbled." So let's just look at Mark's accounts. The first time Jesus tells the disciples why they're going to Jerusalem, Peter receives the harshest rebuke. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." The second time is after the transfiguration, and Jesus teaches the Son of Man is going to be delivered in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask. After which the disciples prove they don't understand because they start arguing over who's the greatest among them. So Jesus teaches, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them and asked, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." The third account, Jesus tells the disciples what's going to happen. Now James and John see this as the best time to ask for a seat, to grab a seat of honor and glory. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." Simple advice. If anybody tells you something like that, always respond, "No." It never goes well. "Grant us to sit on one on your right and the other on your left in your glory." What the flesh doesn't understand is the glory set before Jesus is his cross. And the places on his right and his left have been reserved for two thieves. One who will be an object lesson for the grace of God through the gift of God-given faith, as his repentant faith will receive the reward of paradise. And the other will face not only earthly wrath for his sins, but eternal wrath and damnation. But for now, Jesus must continue to catechize, his self-serving disciples. "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with a baptism in which I am baptized?" Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and to rise on the third day. And yet he is now speaking of these events as drinking from the cup and being baptized. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus is making all things new as all men fell in eating the forbidden fruit. And now our Christ Jesus drinks the cup full of the fruit of our sins, which is death, and he swallows it up in his holy victory once for all. Similarly, as God once cleansed the earth with his destructive waters of the flood, so now Jesus cleanses the entire earth through the life-giving waters of his baptism. It's most certainly true that James and John will drink and be baptized. In fact, all who are Christians will drink of Jesus' cup and be baptized into his baptism of God's mercy. But now Jesus needs to correct the confused disciples, because these sons of thunder, James and John, show us they don't understand that only Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God, and only Jesus is able to drink this cup and receive this baptism of God's wrath. In fact, James and John's response to Jesus' question, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" to which they respond, "Well, we are able," proves that James and John are a lot like us. A lot like any confirmation class that has stood before the altar of the Lord and said, "We'll suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this confession," only to never return to church the next week and the weeks after. Interesting. They have not been listening to Jesus very well. This is something we also are very competent at doing. When someone is trying to talk to us and our mind is on something else, you know what I mean. When you're listening to somebody but you're not listening to them, and maybe you catch the last thing and you just kind of say, "Oh yeah, that's great." And you just agreed to paint their house because you were too busy not paying attention. You wouldn't do that ever in church, right? No, I haven't either. Lord, have mercy. You see, Jesus has not only set his face to Jerusalem, he has told them what's going to happen. Can he be any blunter? "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. And all our flesh hears is, 'I can do it too.'" Jesus is going to Jerusalem to reconcile all mankind as the sinless Son of God dies for all sinners and for all sin. The cross is the height of what Jesus is talking about. It's the height of his glory. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is why we all need the gentle rebuke of Jesus, just like James and John. Don't believe me? Think about how often we have made the events of Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter less important than the events of a ball game, a family get-together, an Easter meal, or even the Easter outfit. How often have we taken Jesus' death and resurrection just for granted? How often have we made his suffering something we didn't need because we've turned our Christian faith into something that we can do if we just simply try a little more? The Christian faith is not just a moral lesson. If it was, we would be justified in glorifying our works. which in turn demean the works of Jesus. Because we are no different than James and John or Peter, for that matter, or any of the other disciples, as they show that they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about either, or they would have been embarrassed for James and John's perceived power grab instead of indignant with them because they thought of it first. This is why Jesus continues his confirmation class. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. St. Ambrose, the 4th century bishop of Milan, sums this up quite nicely as he speaks of the Christian faith and the right belief, as he says, "It is profitable to a man to know that for my sake Christ bore my infirmities, submitted to my affection of my body, that for me, that is to say, for every man, he was made sin and a curse, that for me and in me was he humbled and made subject, that for me he is the Lamb, the vine, the rock, the servant, the son of a handmaid, knowing not the day of judgment, for my sake, ignorant of the day and the hour." You see, the Son of Man served us through his humiliation. He who was in the beginning, who was there and everything was spoken into being, has humiliated himself to the point of not even knowing the day of the hour of his return. Even though he created time, he created the universe, and he created us. James and John are looking for something different. They thought they could be made, well, bishops, cardinals, maybe a pope in waiting, I guess. Vice president of Jesus Incorporated. With all the glory and honor associated with those titles. The 10 were upset. And this also mirrors us. We see ourselves with our desires for glory and honor. Today's a perfect day to talk about this. Think about St. Patrick. Right? Today we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and oddly enough, it's not supposed to have anything to do with green beer or the Chicago River. St. Patrick was a humble man living in Roman Britannia in the late 4th century, and an Irish raiding party of pirates came in and they captured him. They took him back to Ireland, and for 6 years, he lived as a slave. Somehow, and he attributes to God, a dream. He has a dream overnight of how to escape. He makes his way to the coastline and begs passage on a ship back to England. He gets back to Britannia, works his way to France, and in France he studies to be a monk, then a priest, and ultimately becomes a bishop. In the early 5th century, as a bishop, he decides, those heathens, those people who had made me a slave for 6 years, they need the gospel. And so he risks everything, to go back to the very people who had imprisoned him to spread the gospel. And as an ardent defender of the doctrine of the Trinity, we give thanks for such men as St. Patrick. And we honor them by honoring the one that they honored, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For as much as we can call Patrick a saint, I can make you all uncomfortable. You are as well. We Lutherans don't like hearing that. That's Catholic, Pastor. Yeah, Catholic, not Roman. For you are at the same time a sinner and a saint, and you have been sainted for the same reason Patrick was, because Christ has joined himself to you. This, again, corrects our false understandings about being his disciples. Suffering is always connected to it. You see, once again, we think too small. As Jesus directs us and his disciples to a proper understanding of glory, which is his cross and his empty tomb. These are the heights of his service for us as he gives his life as a ransom for all. For all who believe. And yet all are saved. But not all will be in heaven. But his work was so grand and glorious, it was for all, which is why we share it with as many people as we can. Going to even those who despise and hate us with Jesus' message of salvation. Their sins and your sins and my sins are all forgiven for the same reason. Jesus Christ, went to Jerusalem. And there he was handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they handed him over to the Roman authorities, also known as Gentiles. And they crucified him. And on the third day, he rose again, having completed all that was necessary as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. And we stand as his redeemed people, forgiven and given peace in this world of chaos. Your sins and my sins are forgiven. You see, his bread and his cup and his baptism and his word are all given to us this day. As we live in his death and resurrection, we prepare for our very own. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.